Hello, everyone, and welcome to the season preview edition of the Far From Vesuvius podcast. My name is Ken, and joining me today, first and foremost, is Rafa Rispo. Rafa, what's up, dude?
Ken, what's going on, my man? Not much, man. Just, you know, kids are back to school. They're hybrid, so it's virtual and online, and trying to juggle work and two kids and at home doing school with the fiance is a little rough, but can't wait to get back to Serie A. That's coming up, and it feels like just yesterday where the season ended, because practically was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just like that. 6 weeks, boom, right back into it. And also joining us from the Great White North, Marco Cubani D'Onofrio. What's up, Marco?
What's up, boys? Great White North indeed, because it's getting chilly. I know, like, it's mid-September, but it's getting chilly up here already. I'm not sure I'm ready for it, but I am excited for Serie A, and I am excited to watch Napoli again. And you know what? You're right. It's been a really, really short off season, but I'm okay with that. I'm good with that this season.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy. You know, it's been a lot of, you know, preseason started basically like a couple days after the Champions League final. And, you know, we have our poster signing coming in technically before the Mercato even started with Osimhen. And, you know, preseason is over. We had didn't quite have a proper tune up, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But yeah, you know, we got into the mix. It seemed like the boys were in good spirits. Castel Di Sangro this year, no Di Matto. We stayed in Abruzzo this year instead of going all the way up to the north. So it seemed, you know, it was abbreviated, it seemed like. But, you know, we had the whole kits thing, right? We had all the fashionistas out blasting the jerseys before they came out. But yeah, so you know, we just crazy. It just seems like a very abbreviated off season, but I'm definitely excited that we're going to get back into games that count in a couple days. So, I mean, I guess we'll start talking about the preseason first. I mean, Napoli, you know, didn't really have a proper, in my opinion, didn't really have a proper tune-up. You know, they played a couple of games at Castel Di Sangro, and then they played against Pescara. And they were supposed to have a friendly on yesterday, 2 days ago, yesterday, right? Supposed to be yesterday against Sporting from Portugal, and Napoli touchdown in Portugal. They touchdown in Lisbon, get ready for the game. And they find out that there was three positives apparently for Sporting, and Napoli said that they wouldn't play if there was positives. And it said they just had they just traveled hundreds of miles to have a training session at Sporting's home field. So I'll start it off with Rafa. Rafa, how did you think about preseason in general? Any highlights, lowlights, things you saw that you're excited about, things that you don't want to see anymore?
So one of the highlights for me was that Napoli didn't give up a goal in preseason. That was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, you're right when it comes to having a proper preseason. We were kind of robbed it with the last match of Sporting, you know, and that would have been a real test. I believe Sporting is in the Europa League. Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100%, but I believe they're playing in Europe this year, and that would have been a really good test right before, you know, 1 week before the season. But nonetheless, you know, we played
during the qualifying rounds. So yeah.
Okay, so, you know, formidable opponents. But, you know, I think this year I'm not as concerned that we didn't have a proper preseason, because the season just did end. I mean, I think maybe to get Osimhen and, integrated into the team, because he's the one guy who probably has played the least amount of actual meaningful football.
Yeah, he hasn't played a game in 7 months.
Since March, right. Yeah. So that's probably the only thing. But, you know, to be honest with you, he looked good. You know, he's got all the tools to be one of the great strikers in Serie A. I mean, he can hold the ball up. He can, you know, he passes. He finds space. He's great with a shot. He's got pace. I'm sorry. I think he's like one of the better signings that we've had in a long time. There are some people out there that are questioning, you know, the fact that we spent so much money for him and he's not really proven in Serie A yet. But, you know, I was listening to a Serie A sit down, which I'm halfway through. And Frank, who I love very, very much. What's up, Frank? He was one of them who were saying that maybe we paid a little bit more money for Osimhen than we should have, because he's not, you know, that's sort of like Lukaku money or what have you. But I really do think that, you know, the only downfall of the short preseason is Osimhen not getting integrated as much as he should be. But I'm not extremely worried about it, because I think we're going to have a pretty decent season, you know, if I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But yeah, I liked what I saw from the preseason. I thought they played well. They were having fun. They were all laughing and smiling. You know, Gattuso's got him ready. I think we're looking pretty good.
Yeah, man, I agree. I'll touch on my thoughts a little later. But Marco, what are your thoughts on preseason? How did it go for you?
Okay. First off, Rafa, I just want to touch on your point, because you're right. Azamin was a lot of money, and it's a big signing. But the same people complaining about how much Napoli spent on him are the ones who complain that Napoli didn't spend enough previously, right? Yeah. And you're right. It is big money, and it's Lukaku money, and it's superstar money. But you're kidding yourself, and anyone's kidding themselves if De Laurentiis isn't thinking in the back of his mind that he's going to be able to sell this kid one day for a whole lot more money. Yeah. That's the investment here, right? You got a kid that's, what, 21 years old? So I'm very curious to see how he does. And you're right. I could care less about the shortened preseason. I actually kind of think they didn't even need a preseason just based on how quickly the season just ended. Yeah. But I do like the fact that guys like Lozano looked really, really good, and I think he benefited from this preseason. I think it was important for Gattuso to have some time with these guys. And yeah, they didn't play any meaningful games. Let's be honest here. I mean, the most difficult team they played was what, Pescara, you know, yeah, and it sucks. And yeah, and I actually think it's ridiculous, to be honest, that Napoli was even planning to play preseason friendlies across the continent. And I know Portugal's not a far flight, but why are we putting ourselves in unnecessary harm and unnecessary danger? Why are we playing friendlies in other countries? That to me just seems ridiculous right now. It's just unnecessary. So yeah, I'm glad safety came first, but I also think that it was probably a little stupid and a little naive to even try to play that game. And I mean, we're not going to get into De Laurentiis, because if we do, I've got some choice words about that, because I think, honestly, his behavior was just stupid. I will say that just on that situation. But overall, I'm excited for the season. I really, really am. And I think this preseason, we saw what Napoli can be. And now there's talks about Osimhen, whether he starts or not come Sunday. So that's going to be that's going to be interesting to see. And I wouldn't be surprised if Gattuso does just go with the 4-3-3 and have him on the bench, just because, you know, maybe they're not ready to switch yet, and they're going to have to slowly phase that in, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the benefit you have when you have somebody like Mertens who's sticking around, right? You don't have to throw this kid out if he's not ready, if you don't think he's ready, you know, with the pressure on, you can phase him in and you can give him the opportunity slowly. I know it's a big investment. You know, 80 million euros is a lot of money. That being said, you don't want to just, you know, throw this kid to the wolves and see what happens. You know, you have your all-time leading goal scorer in Mertens, who's there to be that buffer. And, you know, you have a guy like Petagna who offers you something a little bit different.
Petagna.
And he, Petagna's, you know,
been so good.
Yeah, he came in. I mean, he scared me a little bit. You know, he had COVID and he had to not, you know, he didn't even go to Castel di Sangro at all. But he played well against Pescara. And it just, we have three strikers who offer us three completely different skill sets, which is pretty awesome, because you don't see too many teams in Italy or in Europe at all that can offer things like that. You know, we have three completely different looks we can give a team. We can play on the counter. And you can have someone who is game-breaking pace like Osimhen. You know, we can play that, you know, sort of modified, you know, possession-based game that we've been playing with Mertens. Or we, you know, if we need a goal late and we need to just huff the ball into the box, we have a player like Petagna who can, you know, get his big body onto the end of something and make something happen out of nothing. And those are all things that that you need to do to build a complete team. And I know we're not in Champions League this year, we're in Europa League, but you know, these are things that are, these small differences are things that make a big difference when you're going for these, you know, European competitions, and you want to be competitive in the league and you want to be able to rotate, and that's all important stuff. And I think that Gattuso also trying to find a second formation that works with the 4-2-3-1 is also smart, because you need to have variation in this day and age in football, and to have a lot of variation in the midfield with different types of players. And I think that, you know, a lot of people want to criticize our lack of investment this summer, which I think is hilarious. Like, why don't we have this type of player? Why don't we have this type of player? And if you go over the last calendar year, and you look at who we've brought in, we've basically, I mean, we Napoli have spent 200 million euros ish, something like that, since last summer. And that is a significant amount of money. You know, you bring about, talk about Lozano, you talk about Petagna, you talk about Dembe and Lobotka, you talk about Osimhen, you talk about Manolas. You're talking about big, big investments in your team. And
Maximovic, Lozano, I know,
there's a lot of things I do think, and I'm just judging this
Manolas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of basing this off of how he played at the end of last season and in preseason, but I think Lozano has a chance to turn around his start at Napoli this season. He seems like he's motivated, he seems like he is eager to play. It seems like Gattuso has really ironed out whatever issues there were at the beginning. And it seems like these guys are ready to play, and they seem like they're ready to play for each other again. And we saw that a little bit at the end of last season, but we saw how the vibe was definitely, definitely positive in preseason this season. And that's something you want to see coming off of what is obviously a disappointing season last year. So, I mean, I don't know what we're going to get. It could be another mixed bag like last year, but it was positive signs in the preseason. So I am definitely happy to see that. And sort of talking about transfer market in the preseason, it seems like, as of tonight anyway, that Eric Milik could be on his way out officially, assuming that he accepts a deal to Roma. All the big guns, Romano and Di Marzio, were all reporting tonight that it seems like the clubs have agreed to 25 million euro transfer. It seems to be some dispute on the payment with that. It seems like maybe like a loan with an obligation to buy plus bonuses or something like that. But Milik is on his way out. Thoughts on selling him to Roma, Rafa?
Peace, bro. See you later. And you know, not for nothing, man, but you guys know how much of a Milik guy I was. I really was. And Ken, you too, man. We were giving them the benefit of the doubt when everyone else was really shitting on them. And you know, maybe they had a point to shit on him, but we also had good enough reason to think that he was going to be okay, you know? But damn, man, I can remember like it was yesterday that we were sitting in the press conference asking Ancelotti, what about Milik's injury? You know, I'll never forget that, sitting in the press box at Michigan Stadium, and 5 minutes or 10 minutes before the game started, the announcer over the speaker in the press box saying to change Milik to Callejon. Milik picked up an injury, and we're looking, oh, what's up with Milik? And he was injured, and he took forever to come back, and he really never caught his stride. I mean, yes, he had a lot of goals per minute ratio. You know, you can't deny that, but he had a lot of really bad moments too. I mean, he scored the penalty to win us the Coppa Italia, which was great. Thank you very much, Eric Milik. But that's like the only thing he did good this season. And, you know, it's a shame because I really, really did want good for him. And, you know, it's not that I don't necessarily like him anymore, but, you know, if you're not going to
perform,
then you don't have room on this team. So, you know, well, I don't like him after what he said about, you know, wanting to go to Juve and all that. But honestly, I don't care if the Roma thing's going to happen, and that's great. Fine. Whatever. And if he had gone to Juve, I really would. It's not an Higuain situation where I feel like he's a traitor. You see you later. Just, you know, just not where it just didn't work out. So, you know, goodbye. Next.
Marco.
What's that? Thank you. Next.
But fuck him. Honestly, I'm putting him on the same level as Gonzalo Higuain. I really am.
I don't know if I can, Marco.
You know why? I think I think it's even worse. I'll be honest. I'll tell you why. Just because he's not as good as Gonzalo Higuain was doesn't mean what he's done isn't as treacherous, if not worse.
I think I know where you're going to go.
He held this club hostage. He's held this club hostage. Basically saying, fuck you, I've got a year left on my contract. I don't want to go here. I don't want to go there. And you know what? Maybe I won't go anywhere. Maybe I'll just stay. And you know what? You're fine. But this was a guy who, let's not say that this guy's come to this club and become a legend. This was a guy who grew up at he came from Ajax, but really he grew up at Napoli through two serious injuries that the club stuck by him through. That's what bothers me. You know what? If you don't want to stay, then fine. But don't do the way you've done it. Sign the fucking contract. Get sold. You know what? Work with the club. If not, then shut the fuck up. And if the club's going to sell you somewhere, then you're going to go. Otherwise, in all honesty, if you're going to sit on the bench, sit on the bench. And I know that's not going to happen because he wants to go to Euros this summer. Yep. So that's the only saving grace that Napoli really has right now, is kind of dangling that over him. But like, in all honesty, that's what really frustrates me. If you want to go to Juve, fine. Fuck you. Go. At the end of the day, now they're saying you're not good enough for them anyways, which is funny. But if you want to go there, then go. But don't do it the way you did it. No. At least Higuain brought Napoli some serious coin, right? So I don't know. That's just my stance. He's there right now for me. He really is.
As far as I'm concerned, he can get fucked. He's really, I mean, the last year or so, the way that he's played has been trash. The way that he conducted himself this offseason has been terrible. I mean, the offseason fiasco, I think that his plan since Saudi left was to just bide his time and go wherever Saudi was. And he thought he had an easy chance to do it when he was at Juve. And then when he left Juve, he realized he might not have that opportunity anymore. And then the statements last week, you know, that I'll just stay and write up my contract. Dude, get the fuck out of here with that. That's next level, you know, underhanded nonsense. And part of me was like, you know what? I hope he does. I hope he does stay and sit on the bench all season long and never plays and then can't go to Europe because of it. Part of me was hoping that's what would happen, you know. And Marco, you said it best. We stood by this guy during two ACL tears. Never really got another striker besides. I mean, Mertens obviously stepped up big time, but we never got somebody in to replace him. We still gave him a shot. We still let him be our number one striker when he came back. And yeah, he scored the penalty to get us a Coppa win. But let's not forget that he could have won us a Scudetto against Milan, and he dicked it. And he could have kicked Liverpool out of the Champions League, and he dicked that too. So
fuck him.
So
fuck
he
him,
can.
Ken, you're pissing me off.
I will gladly be happy to wake up tomorrow morning to see pictures of him at Via Stewart getting his medical for Roma. So good that's. Riddance. Good riddance, exactly. Good riddance on that. So, I guess we're pretty much united in that. So,
tell everyone how you really feel, though.
Yeah.
How do you really feel?
We sugarcoated that one for everyone, you know, for all the kids
just
out
there.
Yeah,
don't hold back.
Yeah. So, you know, that's it's all this PM coffee that's got me all riled up about this Milik stuff. It's really, really annoying. But anyway, on the incoming news, there's some rumors tonight from DiMarzio that we are looking at a former target of ours from a few years ago, Gerard Deulofeu, from Watford, to come in. It's not as sexy as, you know, maybe getting Boga, but I just have a based on just inference idea that Sassuolo will never sell a player to us. So There's another team that can get fucked. They just sell all their players to Juve and whatever. Anyway, that's for a different podcast. So Gerard Deulofeu could be coming in potentially as someone out on the wing, but yeah, so I think we'll go over the first four or five matches, and we'll just talk about, you know, the way that Napoli is going to start the season. Rafa's usually the best stuff at this, but it's not on our calendar yet from what I'm seeing when the European matches are. So I'll probably defer to him on some of these, but our first five league matches, you know, us here in North America, I hope we have our alarm set early for Sunday because it's a 6:30 AM kickoff here in the States. Eastern time. Anyway, we on the road against Parma, at home against Genoa, the 27th, and then at the J Sunday, October 4th. And then we play Atalanta at home on October 17th. And then we play Benevento in a Campania derby October 25th. So that's our first five games. It looks like there's going to be an international break in there somewhere as well after Juve, it looks like. So that's our first five games. Thoughts on the schedule overall? Do you think it was fair? Do you think we got screwed? Do you think it's good, bad, ugly? Rafa, what do you think?
I think it's pretty fair. I'm not too mad at the schedule. Playing Juve early is a pretty decent, especially since it's at the J, but there the most likely will be no fans. I know I thought that I saw something that they were trying to start to weed fans in there a little bit come that weekend, which is ironic enough, but. but honestly, I mean, you start the season with Parma. That's not, you know, I know Parma took two out of two against us last season, but man, I don't know, man. Like, I think the way we started last season was doomed from the start, obviously, because of the fact that, you know, it was Ancelotti that was in there and not Gattuso. And I just think that they have them. He has them on a different level. I think it's going to be a pretty positive start. We do have Atalanta as well. I think Atalanta drops off this season. Like, if I'm getting ahead of myself, when we talk about like where we think we'll finish, I do think we're going to be better than Atalanta this year. They lost Castagne. They think they might lose Papu Gomez too. They might lose a couple of other guys. They really didn't replace him with great quality. So, you know, that should be an interesting one. And I believe, and that, you know, you called me out, Ken. You said that I'm usually good with the European trend. Like, I had this in my notes and it's absolutely gone. I can't find it anywhere, but I did I can't believe it. No, that's okay, but I did have it lined out. I had it out there and I can't find it anywhere, but I'm looking for it. I do know that I believe our first Europa League game is going to be after the Atalanta game. It's between Atalanta and whoever's after them. So but I mapped the whole friggin' thing out. And I can't find it, so I'm looking. So be patient. I'll have it. You got it. Okay.
Good. October 2nd is the first set of matches. So yeah, between Genoa and Juve, that's our first match.
Between Genoa and Juve. Okay.
Oh no, I'm wrong. That's the 22nd. 22nd. Sorry. So yeah, between Atalanta and Benevento, that's our first.
There game. You go, Atalanta Benevento. That's right.
And then we play our second game. But then we play the games like 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, because they have to try to catch up to the, you know, so European, you know how usually you have a game and then there's another one every 2 weeks or three, yeah. You know, with the international breaks and all that, they have to try to catch everything up to the end of the year, the calendar year, so that the calendar goes back to normal after 2020, like in 2021. So
from October 17th until November 8th, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 8 games in 3 weeks or something like that. 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. But I mean, you know, hey, we just got done doing it, you know, so.
Yeah, wild.
It's all good.
Crazy. All right, Marco, what are your thoughts on the schedule? You think we got a decent shake of it overall?
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, I always find it funny when people really like protest the schedule and get angry. Because you really got to play everybody, right? I know there's.
Do you mean like storming out of the league office and riding someone's ass down the street after the? Okay.
Yeah, let's not get into that. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's like you've got to play everybody. You do.
So, yeah, it's probably not ideal to play certain teams at certain times, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. You've got to make the most of it. And I think I'm excited. I think Parma is going to be a fun first game. That's not a gimme. So that'll be a challenging first game. And then you got Genoa and then Juve, right? And then, you know what, Raph, I know what you're saying with Atlanta, and we'll see what they can produce. With me, I always underestimate them, and they always, you know, do better than I think they will. And especially against us, let's just hope that, you know, let's just hope that for our sake, Llorente is still not on the team. Because the last time we played Atlanta, that just, or last season, that first game against Atlanta.
Yikes. Yeah. Really set the tone for the rest of the season, honestly, after that was it.
Yeah. That was exactly it. That was
straight up American football-style tackle on Llorente. Just really set the tone for the rest of the season. So,
yeah, so I'm excited. You know what? It is a lot of games in a short amount of time, but bring it on. Napoli's got some depth, and I think they'll do all right. I really do. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how Juve does. I'm curious to see how Pirlo does. But it's going to be a fun season. It really is. And it's going to be a wild season. And I think it's going to be a tight season with a lot of top teams. Because I think Inter is going to be up there. I think Juve is going to be up there. And I think Napoli is going to be up there. So let's see what we can do. And let's bring it on.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rafa.
No, I'm sorry. Potential difficult matches are week 8 and 9 back-to-back. Home to Milan and Roma. So that would mean, you know, the second part of the season would be them away. And then week 31 and 32 home to Inter and Lazio, which means, you know, at least we're home in that home stretch there, you know, at San Paolo. I really like that the season ends at San Paolo against Verona so we could relegate them. That'd be nice.
That would be very nice.
Wouldn't it?
but you know what happens, right? It's one in, one out. If Hellas gets relegated, then you know
Kiev will come back in. Scumbags they are.
We can't get rid of both of them at the same time for some reason. I thought,
dude, scenes at the San Paolo when Romani scores the goal that relegates Verona. How about that?
I'd love it. I mean, I think that's, man, I'm excited about the season. I really am. I think this is as excited as I've been in a little while. I know last year we were excited because we were a part of the preseason, and you know, but that excitement really, really dwindled, I think, you know, right after Koulibaly's own goal there against Juve. I think it was just like, okay, the air is out of the sail. So I am excited. I think Gattuso has really earned his spot to be able to have a full season at the helm and be able to see what he can do with, you know, guys that are a little bit more to his liking for a full season. You know, he did come into a really, really tough situation last year, and in my opinion, he made the best out of it. You know, to have won a trophy last season is still crazy to me, considering how we played for long stretches of the season. So I'm definitely excited.
I'm sorry, really quick. One of the other things I'm really looking forward to, like Marco mentioned, is seeing what Pirlo does at Juventus. I can see a complete and I love Pirlo. Please don't get me wrong. He's one of my favorite players. Italian players anyway, but I can totally see an unraveling at Juventus this season. And that doesn't mean necessarily that they won't win the Scudetto. I believe they can still win the Scudetto. I mean, I joke all the time, like, I could coach Juventus to a Scudetto. Like, at this point, you know, my son can manage the team and they'll win the Scudetto. But to have a Cristiano Ronaldo on your team with 1 year left on the contract, they have to win the Champions League. And you appoint a guy who just today passed his UEFA coaching license. In 6 days, he's got to coach against Sampdoria, his first match ever as a coach of any capacity. They're not winning the Champions League, and I would love to see how that's going to play out. Because if Cristiano, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, because I believe Ronaldo's contract was a 3-year contract, and this would be year 3.
I think
3.
You're right.
And if they don't win, he's not staying at Juve. I'm surprised he's still there, to be honest with you. And then what? He goes on a free?
Yeah, I think so. For me,
I think it's a 4-year deal.
Okay, so he's got 2 years left. Either way, I think that I'm not going to harp too much on Juve because we have enough things to worry about on our own. But I think that it's a really interesting choice to go with someone who's never coached before ever as a team at that level. I mean, you know, you talk about a team that's won 9 and Scudettos in a row, and you talk about a team whose aspirations are to win the Champions League, and you hire a guy who's never coached a professional game. I mean, they were saying there was a chance that if he didn't get his license, that his name is going to skip my mind, but the guy who got sacked as Napoli, Baronio, the guy who got sacked as Napoli's youth coach 2 years ago is his assistant coach. And he could have coached the games. I mean, it's just a little weird to me, but I mean, whatever. If it fails, I'm happy. So
the potential's there, and that's why I.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've just sort of like built this team odd. You know, they built it around a 35-year-old guy, which I mean, it's obviously Ronaldo. Listen. I don't have to say anything about Cristiano Ronaldo and the quality that he still has, but I definitely think that it's suspect to build your team around him at his age. And not, you know, they haven't done too much to supplement for the future. I know they bought that young American kid McKinney, which makes me really upset. But yeah, it's just weird. It's just weird. But anyway, moving on to sort of, a question that was asked to us a bunch in Ask FFV, and it just has to do with expectations for this season. And Marco, I'll start with you. For this season to be a successful one for Napoli, what has to happen, in your opinion, for that to be successful?
I don't know. In all honesty, I have no clue. I really don't. Usually... And especially recently, I've been saying, you know, the goal has to be a Scudetto. I don't know if that's the case anymore, unfortunately. Or fortunately, depending on how you look at it. I don't know. I think you want to win a trophy, and I think you want to go far in the Europa League, and I think you got to get back in the Champions League. But I think Inter is really, really good this year. And I think Juve is still very good. And I know what you guys are saying about Pirlo, but there's a part of me that's terrified that he's going to be the next Zidane. Just because he was such a smart player, he knew what he was doing all the time on the pitch, and I think tactically he could be a genius off of it. We'll find out. I also think that with what he brings on and off the pitch in a pedigree wise, that's huge. He's a guy that a player like Cristiano Ronaldo has to respect. He's a guy that, you know, Dybala is going to have to respect. They didn't necessarily have to do that with Sarri, because Sarri didn't win anything. Pirlo's a World Cup winner and one of the best of all time. So that's the difference there. And so I hope Napoli can compete for a Scudetto. I hope Gattuso can steer this team in the right direction. I'm very curious, and I think, in all honesty, I think a lot of it's also going to depend on if Koulibaly stays. We haven't touched upon that, and I know we will, because that's come up on Far From Vesuvius. And that's also a real signal of intent as well, by the way. As much as we want to rip on ADL, you know what? If we could keep Koulibaly, that would be huge. And he's not backing down in terms of, you know what? We're not going to bend the knee to Manchester City. Fuck you. You don't want to come to the table and talk? Fuck you. I don't care. Like, you of all teams are going to play the moral clause.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You of all, like shut the fuck up. You cry because of Jorginho? Really? You know what? Like, you're not going to talk. You're not going to come to the table. Then you don't get the players. It's as simple as that. And you know what? The season starts on Sunday for Napoli. Why are we, again, why are we going to bend the knee for this club? If there's not a suitable replacement, and I don't care what anybody says, Socrates is not a suitable replacement, then you know what? Let's keep the guy. Done. Anyways, that's probably another question coming up, Ken.
Yeah. Rafa, expectations for the season?
I mean, Marco put it the best when he said, I don't know. I mean, I really want a deep Europa League run. You guys know how I feel about that. It's not the first time I've said it. I want to win that effing trophy. And you know, I want to win that trophy, dude. Like, I really think that Napoli, I mean, listen, Napoli are going into Europa League, the top seed of the whole field, I believe. They are ranked the highest of any team that comes in. So the expectation, I mean, we should have a really nice group, you know, and I realize that the groups aren't settled yet, and that won't happen until, I believe, the beginning of October.
Yeah, the 2nd of October is when the draw is.
Yeah, so it's hard to, you know, it's hard to predict that when you don't even know who's in your group. But being the best team, you know, statistically, you know, technically, you know, in the field, we should be a favorite to win it. So I'd love to win that. Is it a failure if we don't? No, because if we get back to the Champions League and maybe win the Coppa Italia, then no, it's not considered a failure. But I want to make that European stamp. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. If Inter could go to the final Europa League, then I think Napoli can this year too. I'm not as high on Inter as everybody else are. I think Conte will bottle it. I think them bringing in guys like Kolarov and Vidal instead of nailing down Tonali and, like, you know, I do like the Hakimi move, though. That was a really nice one. But I don't know. I don't think I think everybody – it's funny because I feel like most teams have strengthened quite a bit considerably, yet I don't think they're going to be as good as everyone's saying they are. I could see Napoli finishing third, maybe. Third? I could see Milan doing something really well, too. I don't know. I think that if Napoli just play better than they did last year, you know, Osimhen has a good season. Lozano has a good season. We have a good attitude instead of, you know, what Neapolitans like to say, a mutsasut, which is just like a, you know, like a pretty much like a resting bitch face sort of, you know, because most of them had it with Ancelotti. But now you can definitely see, I saw, and forgive me, who I don't remember who was one of our really cool Napoli, you know, Twitter companions, but they had a split screen of Napoli last season.
Yeah. I saw this. Yeah.
And the expressions on their face at a certain point in last season, and then Napoli this season in preseason, just all having a great time. You know, kudos to Gattuso and staff for really, I mean, and he's in there with them, you know, and he's just having fun himself. So this could be you know, I would really like to win the Supercoppa too. That would be nice. Another listen, trophies are trophies. I don't care, big, small, medium, who cares. Trophies are trophies. Let's win that Supercoppa too.
We don't have enough trophies to dictate which trophies are important to us.
Exactly, truthfully. Man. Like, I hate when people shit on Coppa Italia. Coppa Italia is the same freaking thing as the FA Cup, if you ask me. And prestige.
Well, here's the thing, right? Everybody says, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter who you play. Every year it's the same deal, right? When you get to the Final Eight or Final Four, it's always Inter, Juve, Roma, Milan, Lazio. They're all still there.
I'm sorry, when Napoli were in the final of Coppa Italia, when we had fans in Rome in 2012 and in 2014, that place was filled to the effing brim of Napoli and Juve fans, and then Napoli and Fiorentina fans. You want to be in that final. It's a spectacle. They make a whole big deal of it. So, and I've noticed that ever since, like, maybe the year before Napoli won that against Juve. You know, it gets you into Europe. And it's a trophy. You get the same thing that the FA Cup winners get. So let's start treating it a little bit with more respect. You know what I mean? It's silverware, and like you said, teams don't have enough of that silverware are dying to win that. You're gonna tell me if it's Napoli Sassuolo in the final of the Coppa Italia, Sassuolo won't go all out to win that thing? They won't be like, it's just Coppa Italia. Let's win that. Let's win the Supercoppa. Let's try to win Europa League. Yes, it's the secondary. Now they're going to make a third European trophy next season too. F it. Let's win that thing too if we slip into that. It's just we need to win things, and it's about time we do.
Yeah, I mean, for me, listen, the expectations for us, and, you know, some people are going to say that our expectations should be to win the Scudetto, and we could argue until, you know, the moon is green and the sky is, you know, white or whatever. You know, we can, whatever analogy you want to think of, we could argue about it, you know, all day. But the realistic expectations for this club this season, okay, not 2 years ago, not 3 years ago, not 5 years ago, whatever, finish in the top four, make a serious run for the Europa League. Those are my, if we finish third and we get to a Europa League final, I'm pretty pleased with the way that things go. If we finish fourth and win the Europa League, awesome. You know, if we finish fifth, then we're talking about, you know, multiple years of Europa League, whatever.
Well, if we finish fifth and win
and the, win the Europa League, then
we're in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So either way, the goal is to get back to the Champions League, because we all said it. To, you know, we all said it. We all agreed. 1 year off from the Champions League. Yeah, we miss the money, but 1 year won't kill us. Two, three, four might. So the goal is to get back to the Champions League. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Everything else is cherry on the top of the cake. But, you know, we should win more trophies. I'd love to win another Coppa Italia and, like, get to the Europa League final. That would be wonderful.
So, in one way or another, we answered Ask FFV questions from Eonster on Instagram. So, Eonster.
Who's a new fan, by the way. So, that's
new fan. Really cool. Thank you for your question.
Yes.
The Calcio guys asked us that question in some form, and Napolitano, Ando, what's up, bro? Thank you for the question. Let's see, who else asked that question? Massimo Nuso, you also asked that question, more or less. So thank you guys for the questions. We appreciate Massimo, it, as always.
That's my baby, Massimo. What's up, baby?
Oh, boy.
I love that kid, man. I freaking love that kid. He's a trip.
He's awesome. Thank you, Massimo, for the question. Paluch underscore A on Twitter asks, who will score more goals, Osimhen or Petagna? Marco, who you got, Osimhen or Petagna for more goals this year?
Osimhen, because I think he's going to play more. I think Petagna is going to impress, and I think he's going to be a bulldog, but I don't think he's going to get a whole lot of minutes, to be honest.
Yeah. Rafa, who you got?
Victor, come on, the Prince of Naples. Are you kidding me? Come on, baby. Victor, our winner. No, listen, I do. And definitely a shrewd pickup. I love the fact that we got Petagna, but I do think Osimhen scores more. Osimhen for a lot of assists too, I think, man. Watch out. Watch out for him.
I think it's unanimous here. I think Osimhen is going to be a pretty important piece of what we do this year, and for us to meet some of those expectations, he's going to have to be a pretty big part of it. So, no disrespect to Petagna, I think Petagna and Osimhen both go for double digit goals this year, though. That's my that's Petagna a prediction for me.
Petagna both is double a digits. Backup man. Petagna is a backup, dude. Come on, that's amazing. I'm sorry, this guy looks bigger than he did last season, and he's still moving like he's freaking all over the place. He's a brute, dude. He really is gonna bring this club something. I do feel he's gonna do it. Like you sub Osimhen out for Petagna, that's like scary. It's scary. Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited about our listen, in attack, I think we're set. I think we're going to score a lot of goals this year. Defensively, if we don't improve over last year, you know, we could have some issues. But that's something we can touch on a little later. But yeah, I mean, I think Victor scores more. I think both go double digits. I think Napoli have three double-digit scorers this year, though. I think him, Mertens, and Petagna all get 10-plus goals this year. That's my one and only preseason prediction. Sal De Brita, Sal, We love you, man. Thanks for the question. Let's see what we got. Who do you think? Well, he's got a three-parter, but one part we already sort of touched on. But first part, who do you think will be the starting right winger on match day one? We've got options here, right? Who is it going to be? Do we think it's going to be Politano? We think it's going to be Mertens, maybe, even? Do we think it's going to be Chucky? Who we got, Rafa? Who you got?
I'm going Chucky, baby. Especially if we go a four with the 4-2-3-1, I think it would be Chucky, and I think it would be Dries right behind Victor. So, but again, man, you touched on it. It's like in offense, we're scary, brother. Scary, because you know there's so many options. And then if we were to even, because like, you know with the sale of Milik, if we do get, I mean, Deulofeu, I'm not so high on, but even if you add that aspect to this offense, you know, I'd rather Boga. If we were to get Boga, forget about it. We might have five players with double digit goals. But honestly, dude, like I do think Chucky is the guy. I think the stigma that Gattuso didn't rate Chucky was just some sort of, you know, just the fact that. Yeah, I think so. I do. I think that he was just trying to get his mind right, man.
Yeah,
like, just
challenge him a little bit. Yeah.
You got to admit, man, under Ancelotti, Chucky was not, you know, you also have to attribute the fact that he's new in a league. It's his second season. You know, I feel like it's just prime for Chucky. Now, if we go 4-3-3, it could very well be Mertens. It could very well be Politano. I personally would rather be Lorenzo, Mertens, and Lozano in a 4-3-3 with Osimhen coming in if we need to switch to like a, you know, a soul striker later in the match. But again, so many options, because you can do that with Petagna too. So many options. So many. But I'll say Chucky.
Marco, what you got? Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Who's on the team sheet?
Oh man, I forgot it was 6:30 a.m. Shit. 6:30 a.m. I gotta wake up early.
I love it. I fucking love it because I'm up early. I'm weird like that. yeah, no, I really am. But
the thing with me is that I wake up early all the time. When I have to, I never do. So I'm up at 4, but then when I have to get up, I'm like, I missed the first 10 minutes of the game. I'm telling you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm very curious to see. Like, I think, in all honesty, I think they go the 4-3-3. I think he goes with what's familiar. I think that's important early on. I think he's going to slowly transition. And I think it's also going to ease the pressure on the Prince, you know. I think there's a lot of expectations. And I think you kind of got to, like we saw him groom Chucky. Like you guys said, I think Chucky's going to have a big year this year. I hope he does start, because I want to see him get rewarded for the offseason he's had, the short as it's been. But I don't know if he does. I'm curious to see, because I think it'll be Lorenzo, and I do think it'll be Dries. I think it's going to be that 4-3-3, but I'm curious to see if it's Politano or if it's Chucky. That's the only decision for me, I think. I think that's up top, that's the question mark. And in all honesty, and maybe this is me being optimistic, but as the days get, you know, closer to the season starting, I'm really starting to hope that Koulibaly is going to stay. And I think he hasn't had a great season last year, but I think if he does stay and he knows he's staying, and he has a full year with Gattuso and, you know, Manolas, and if Maximovic stay, I mean, this defense could look really, really good. So I'm excited.
I have a question for the two of you guys. How much shit does Gattuso get if he does not start two players that cost $125 million over the last two seasons in the first match, Lozano and Osimhen?
I don't think he gets any.
No, how much shit does he get from, like, the haters? I'm
sure if they lose.
Especially
yeah, only if they lose.
No, yeah, possibly.
I mean, maybe he'll get some. Listen, I mean, you got to play the best 11 you think you have. It doesn't matter whether a guy costs nothing or whether he costs 100 million euros. I mean, what my gut tells me he's going to go with, I'm aligned with Marco a little bit, and I think he's going to go with what's familiar. And I think I could rattle off our starting 11 for Sunday off the top of my head, no problem. And I think that he's going to start Politano on the right. It's just my gut. I think he's going to go with the back four with the back four we saw most of the season. I think Koulibaly is staying now. Honestly though, Marco, I think that this ship has sailed. And I agree with what you said about Man City. For a team that is a state owned, you know, club more or less, like, give me a break. Don't take your moral high ground, you know, because you won't come to the table to talk with us. I think that De Laurentiis has stuck to his guns the whole time. If he doesn't get the offer that he wants, he's not going to sell. Guys, I know he said last week he's going to sell everybody. It doesn't matter. But I think this is just dumb shit that he says in the moment that he doesn't actually mean. If he doesn't get 75, 80 million minimum, Koulibaly is going to stay. And the big difference between the Koulibaly situation and some of the previous situations is that Koulibaly has openly said that he's happy to stay and he loves Naples and he's happy to stay if that's the case. He just wants to know whether he's staying or whether he's going. So,
don't you know he's not good enough for Man City? Didn't Martin Kuhn tell you that?
Yeah, Martin Kuhn is another guy who we can add to the get fucked list. So,
dude, he could kiss my fucking ass, dude. Not for nothing, but he could really kiss my ass. I was so incensed at his remarks. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. A guy who's watched him for 10 minutes.
These guys get exposed all the time for being, quote, experts and have never seen these guys play and then spouting off some nonsense and then wondering why they get, you know, taken to school when people find out about it. So he's just another guy we can add to the list of the many English pundits who have such amazing takes. So Sal also asks, with the entire squad having a down year last year, who do we think has the biggest bounce back season? And I'll tell you this, there's a lot of guys to choose from who had down seasons last year. And I'm going to go right off the bat and I'm going to say Koulibaly. I think Koulibaly stays and he turns it around big time this year. So that's it. That's who I got. Rafa.
I'm going to go with Fabian.
Nice. Marco, who's your bounce back player of the season for this season?
Chucky Lozano.
Yeah. I don't know. I just got the positive vibes about Lozano this year. I just think his demeanor looks so much different. And maybe it's just because he settled in and maybe him and Ancelotti just didn't get along or whatever it is. But he has a little bit of a different aura this preseason. Obviously, last year he came in late in the preseason and the season was already getting ready to start. But I think those are all good takes. If all three of those guys have big improvement years, then I think Napoli are going to be in pretty good shape this season. So let's see. What other questions we got rolling out here? Frank Cavallaro asks, Merida or Ospina? It's another big question, another big decision. I'm going Medet. I think this is Medet's season. To get a chance playing almost all the league games and Ospina becomes our cup keeper. Rafa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean I would agree with you because I did see that somewhere that you know they decided after all the talk about Medet possibly going on loan somewhere that they decided ultimately that it's gonna be Medet. And Ospina, Meret for Serie A, Ospina for the Cups. I mean, you know, we've seen that Gattuso quote-unquote favors Ospina. So, I mean, either way, they're both very good keepers, you know, and good shot stoppers. you know, good with distribution. Well, Ospina is anyway, and you know, Medet's got his own qualities. I think that either way, I'm happy. But yeah, Medet. Listen, Medet's the future of this club. So whether it's Ospina or Medet this season, it's going to be Medet down the road. You know, and that's it.
Marco.
Yeah, I'm going with the youngster as well. I think Ospina is probably going to get games earlier on in the season, but I think as time goes on, Gattuso is going to develop more trust, I hope. And I think he's going to need to, because I think if not, I think he's gone. So this is the year, you know, and I'm curious to see how that goes, but I do agree with you guys.
Yeah, I think this is the year, right? You know, this is Merritt's third season with us. I think it's time. We got to start getting these guys. We got to start getting him into the mix. He's got to be the guy to either win that position completely, or, you know, we have to start considering what happens next. Because, you know, like I said, season three. So we gotta sort of figure it out. But Stefano Camarota has a question for us at Nanano 78. Stefano, hey man, thanks for the question. You always get in, so I'm happy to see that you're back with the start of a new season. How used will Petagna be this season? I think he's a strong presence we desperately needed the last 5 to 6 years. He's a very underrated. We've touched on this a little bit, but I figured I'd just give him a spotlight. So, Marco, I'll start with you. What do you think Petagna is going to do this season?
Yep. I like Petagna. I really do. I think he's going to play that super sub role for us. I think he's going to be a beast off the bench. I think he provides us some depth, another option. I think he's a bulldog, and I think he suits Gattuso's style. So I think it's a great pickup, and it's a great value pickup. So I really do like it.
Rafa.
I think he's going to fit in really well. Like I said, he's a shrewd pickup. I like that we got him in January last year and let him stay at Spal. Even though Spal were relegated, he scored some pretty big goals for them. He's wonderful for rotation. I mean, like, you know, those 8 games that you mentioned, you know, that we have to play back-to-back, you know, or 8 and 3 weeks or whatever it was, is going to come in really handy when we need, you know, to rest a striker, whether it be Mertens or Osimhen. Petagna is going to come in and beast it up, man, because he could be a really good Europa League guy, you know, cup guy, occasional substitution for Serie A. Even a Serie A starter. I mean, he's a proven Serie A starter. So, like, we have a proven Serie A starter on the bench, you know, for when our rook is either tired or, you know, not having a great game or whatever. And it's just an upside either way you look at it. So I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, I think having healthy competition at a position like striker is always good to have, right? You always want to have a second option, a third option, you know, in case it's not clicking, in case you need to try something new, and in case someone's tired, in case someone's out of form, whatever the case is. It's always good to have options, especially at striker. And also it's good to have people who offer something different. And Petagna, both of our signings, Petagna and Osimhen, offer 2 things that we haven't had in a time I can remember. Osimhen is probably the for pace is probably the fastest striker I've ever seen for Napoli. And it's this explosiveness that is really seems impressive. I know we, you know, the sneak peeks we've gotten have not been against the best competition, but, you know, you can tell when these guys have this type of natural ability to pull away from defenders. And Petagna, you know, is a prima punto. You know, he's a guy who can hold the ball up. He can win balls in the air. You know, we had a guy in Milik who, when you look at him stature wise, you think he's someone who could do those things, but he never really could. So I'm happy that Petagna's there, and I think Petagna sort of is a good rotation guy and a guy that can come off the bench when you need a goal. I think he's going to do well for us. I think he's going to do well. I'm excited. I hope that he is okay with his position in the squad. I think maybe that might be the only thing that could pose issues, is that, you know, I think right now the way it looks, unless we change formation, which we might, to 4-2-3-1, that he's third choice. But if we do go 4-2-3-1, then he might, will probably have more opportunities, and I can understand why Gattuso wants to go to that formation. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we do have a question from Frank Sidekick also, and he said his question is, let me pull it up here. His question is, how are you going to find the energy to support the team after all the fashion focus of August? Which I thought was a really funny question. So I do actually want to pose the question while we're all together, because I don't think we've all talked about it. The kits this year, right? We got to talk about them. We haven't talked about them. What do we think? Are we going to do like a grading scale 1 to 10? You know, go jersey to jersey, and we'll just grade them. So we'll start with the home jersey, the blue. We got, obviously, the big controversy this year was the Lete box is gone.
Yeah, hashtag Lete out, hashtag yeah. Lete in bianco. Yeah.
Yes. So the box is gone, but the actual Lete writing is in red and not white, or not exactly matched to the jersey color. So that was the big controversy with the kits this year. So I know, I'm sure we've all seen them, but the home blue, what do we think? I'm going to go ahead and just start it, and I'm going to give the home blue a 6.5 out of 10. Yeesh. I like it. It's not great. I like the blue. I'm not the biggest fan of the red Lete, but whatever. The white stripe on the back and on the side, it's not my fave. All right, that's what I got. Rafa, home blue, what you got?
I'm going to go 8. Compared to the last two,
are you gonna disrespect the belly cat right now? You're gonna disrespect the belly cat?
Come on, dude. Belly cat is my friend, but you know, I love belly cat. You know, I rub its belly, and I got my kid the black one. It's a nice kit. Yeah, it was the worst kit we've ever had. I really do like the blue kit. I love it. A couple things I would change, but whatever. Not, and one of them is not the red Lete. I'm sorry. I don't, at first it was disappointing, but you know what? I got over it really fast. So 8.
Marco. Home
blue. No, the first and foremost. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. The ugliest jersey we've ever had, first and foremost, was that like yellow puke camouflage thing going on.
The alternate camo one, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No. I agree. I was calling the belly cat our ugliest home jersey we've had.
Oh,
especially,
that's
true. Especially with Kappa. I mean, Kappa makes some really nice kits prior to that. So that was just, we went from one of our most beautiful kits to one of the like worst kits I've ever seen as a home kit. So continue. Yeah, you're right. No, yeah, you're 100% right. That blue and yellow.
Horrible. So horrible.
But I'm going to, I'm okay with the jersey. I'm not crazy about it. I'm going to go with the 6. I'm not like super stoked about it, but I'm not like disgusted by it. So I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I think, yeah, fair enough. All right, so next up is the away, what are we calling this? White? It looks white to me.
Going white.
They're calling it mint green, mint bro. Green. What do you want from me? It's white, right?
What are they calling it?
Mint green.
Come on.
It's fucking white, okay?
How do you
it's
get mint white. Green?
We don't know. That's but anyway, whatever. Regardless of, they want to call it mint green, I'm calling it white. For me, this kit is not to just use. This kit is mint. I love it. I love the white with the red. Whatever. It looks great. I like that weird seafoam green accent color. I like the slightly different color on the shoulders. Love it. 9 out of 10. Love the away kit. That's the one I'm buying this year. So put it in the bag. I don't know whose name I'm getting on the back of it yet. Most of that is because I want to see what number Osimhen takes, maybe, because I don't think he's going to stay with 15. But away kit, 9 out of 10. Rafa.
10 out of 10.
Oh, whoa! What?
The away kit is a 10 out of 10, man. That's wow. One of the nicest kits I've ever seen in my life. I'm sorry.
I want to be in your class. You're the teacher I want to be marking my work. You're the guy I want as my teacher, Rafa.
Yeah. Dude, listen to me, okay? Something about the nostalgia of the red letters with the white, you know, from the Buitoni and the Mars days. It takes me back. I absolutely love this kit. And you know, I don't know, man. Like, this is one of the nicest away kits I've ever seen. Now, you know, listen, there have been some really nice ones. Nothing is ever going to. So I guess you can't go 9-10, right? Because 10 is perfect. Nothing is ever going to touch the Scudetto white jerseys, you know.
Here's the thing, though, right? In the last 10 years, we've had a couple of banging white jerseys. We had the white with the River Plate blue stripe, which was sick. And Cavani's last year, we had it with the double stripe down the center. We do white kits pretty well. But yeah, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, dude, what does it is, okay, I'll go 9.5. How's that? What does it is the red lettering. Yeah, and that's another reason why I didn't really mind the red lettering anymore on the blue jerseys.
The red lettering on the white looks sick, period. I love it.
Just an amazing jersey. And, dude, in all the jerseys, the Coppa Italia right in the middle, for me, just it's an automatic purchase because of that. You know, you have to have a championship jersey. So this will be a 9.5 out of 10 for me.
Marco, what you got on the away kit?
I do really like it. I do. I don't rate it quite as high as Raph, because you guys are right. Napoli does the white kits really, really well. But I'm going to give this a solid 8. I do think it's a nice jersey. I think it's classy. I think it's clean. An 8. I like it.
Nice. Okay, so I think this is going to be the one that maybe has the most controversy. And this is the third kit, which is the blue? Is it blue? It's navy, right? I don't know. I can't tell if it's navy or gray. It's either dark blue. I think it's dark blue. I think it's navy. Navy with the pink. Man, I'm torn. I like it when it's got the numbers and the names on it, because the numbers and the names are in like the Napoli blue. But I just don't think with the red Lette and the blue and the pink and the light blue and our badge, it's a little busy. I'm going to give it a 6. I'm going to give it a 5.5. It's not my fave. I don't love it. So, yeah, 5.5. Rafa.
I'll go 6 here. For me, this is a drop off for the other two, from the other two. Again, no problem with the red. If you didn't have the pink cuffs, and the pink, you know, the collar, go red. Or I don't necessarily have a problem with the pink. If the Lette was white, it's just the red and the pink is a little bit of a throw off. But to be honest with you, dude, like, and then I see like some people buy it or put it on and take pictures with it, not with it on and all that. And it actually isn't terrible either. I don't know, man, like all the three of the jerseys this year for me isn't really that bad. I will give it a 6 because of I feel like the colors, the red and the pink, do clash a bit. So, you know, but it's not a terrible jersey. It's all good. It's all good. Again, it has Coppa Italia on it, so it doesn't matter. I love it.
Marco.
It's very busy. It almost looks like a cycling jersey, to be honest with you.
yes. Cycling vibes, yeah.
But I like it. I don't know what it is. There's something about it I really like. I'm going to go with a 7. I do. Nice. I don't know why. I really don't. I just like it. I do. 7.
Nice. There you have it. Everyone wanted to know. Frank, I know you were just poking a little fun, but you got a full-on Far From Vesuvius fashion rating show. So,
dude, their practice gear is legit. No,
the practice gear this year is awesome. And the goalkeeper jerseys are both trash. They're horrible. So I'm glad that otherwise.
I like the lime one.
They're both no's for me. The gold is terrible. Tacky, like bronzy gold. Get out of here. I will guarantee you that we see the goalkeepers wear whatever kit we're not wearing.
The dark blue. Yeah.
They're gonna wear something else. That gold is trash.
What about the tracksuits?
The training gear is, I love it. I love like the teal whatever seafoam training top. I love the track kits. I know some people were shitting on the SSCN thing we have going on this year. I dig it. So I like the black. I like the black training or the dark blue training jumpsuit with the blue on top with the pink. It looks sick. So there you go. That's what I got. So maybe not what we were all expecting today, but we got a little, you know, a little take into what we think fashion-wise of Napoli. We probably could have had a couple people on that know a little bit more about the fashion stuff, but who cares? We're having fun with it. This is a season preview. We can say whatever the hell we want. But yeah, I think we're also getting a fourth jersey that's white and blue stripes. That seems to be...
I can't wait.
The rumor is we're getting one that's like white and light blue stripes, like sort of like
Argentina style. Beautiful.
Which for me would be sick. Maradona vibes and all that. So if that happens, that'll be something I'm definitely interested in. So
#, Lete in Rosso, baby. Come on.
Yeah, listen, I don't care. It doesn't bother me that much. Maybe on the blue kit, like on the blue, on the dark blue kit. On the regular blue kit, it bothers me a little bit, but I'm fine. On the white kit, it looks great. On the dark blue kit with the pink, okay. Either way. But I know we're all excited for the season. I don't know if anybody else has anything else to – any other last second put in shout-outs? Anyone want to thank anybody? Anyone's birthday or something? We want to say hello to someone.
I'm gonna say this real quick. We started a fantasy league last year. We didn't really see it through. I mean, COVID kind of helped with that too. But to be honest, about a month or two in, nobody really gave a shit about it anymore. We're gonna try it again. It's either gonna be on Fantasy Serie A or an app that I downloaded and started a league with, didn't make a team yet or anything, but there's another app that I downloaded that's called B Manager. I'll put it on the Twitter when I decide which one it is, but we are going to do it again. We're going to give it a shot. And I might be collabing with another favorite podcast of ours to do a – close your ears, Ken – a prediction league with other podcasts. So the idea that I have is our podcast puts together predictions. So does, let's say, Stereo Serie A. So does, let's say, Serie A Sit Down and other podcasts like IFTV. Maybe I'm going to try to see if they want to do it. But the idea is to see who wins the podcast Scudetto. And it's a predictions league. So you have to guess the right score and the right.
So I'm going to take it to the next level. No, we're doing this. We're doing this predictions thing. And I will shout. I'm going to call out all of the other Calcio podcasts.
All of you guys.
They're all called out. Calcio Land, IFTV, Stereo Serie A, Serie A Sit Down, Six Side Calcio. I know I'm missing a bunch. You're all called out. We challenge you to a predictions league. All of you. So we're going to blast it out on the Twitter. We openly challenge all of you. And we're going to find a friendly wager to put on the line and figure out what it is. Maybe everybody chips in a couple bucks and there's going to be a belt. You know, we like wrestling on this podcast, too. There needs to be a belt. I'm all in on this. This is happening.
All right. Yeah. So
open call out.
It was Frank Crivello who I messaged. We were messaging about his show. By the way, please listen to his newest podcast, because a guest that he has on, and for the life of me, the name is escaping me, but he works with a transfer site.
With DeMarcio, right?
Was it? He worked with DeMarcio. I think he works with someone else. But anyway, I'm halfway through it, and I love it. So I just messaged him that, and then I had this idea about, you know, who just a fun game to get every. I saw your tweet too, by the way, Ken, shouting out all Napoli fans and Serie A podcasts, yeah, yeah, and you know, so, and it kind of came to me, and in the midst of a conversation with him, I asked him how he would feel about it, and he said he'd be interested. It just would be hard to keep up with, but that we leave that to us, Frank. We'll take care of that. You don't worry about that. We'll deal with it. But I think it's a good idea. You get everybody in Calcio, you know, sort of connected. You know what I mean? You try to spread more of the growth.
This is a community way for us to banter and talk some smack over the course of the season, and I'm all down for that. So yeah, we're gonna get this sorted. So
let's get it done.
Be on the lookout. So Marco, any shout outs, any praises, any disses you want to throw out there? Anything you want to say to the listeners in the world before we tie a bow around this episode?
No, I'm good. I'm ready for the season to start, and I'm pumped for it. So fuck everybody. let's win some trophies. That's it.
You know who I know who I do. I'm sorry. I'm gonna keep this going. I do want to shout out two people. Frank Sidekick. We will finish Maradona. I promise you, it's gonna happen. A. B. Kirsten. Kirsten, I want to shout out because she is working so hard to try to finish this Napoli book, and it's getting to her, and I know it's getting to her, but. Stay strong, Kirsten. You'll have it done. And she's been dying to get on here with us because she is a member of our team. It's just the time difference and who's available, who's not available. But we have to get her on here again. Kirsten, we miss you very much. I had a really nice talk with her about her book, too, like, you know, for her book. And pleasure to talk to her. And, you know, that's it. There you go.
Yeah, you stole my shout out, but that's okay.
Sorry, Kirsten. Dude, I'm sorry.
No, I'm busting. But yeah, no, I have a couple too. And I want to start to make this a part of what we do at the end of every episode. During, you know, pandemic, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And I think there's time to make a little bit of time at the end of our podcast every time we do one to just sort of throw some positive vibes out there onto some people that we appreciate. And yeah, so I did have Kirsten in mind as my one of my shout outs this week, and I just wanted to make sure that she knows and everybody knows that she is very much a part of this team, and sometimes getting everybody together is not easy, but that doesn't make her any less part of this team because she is a part of it, and we do miss having her on the air. So we hope to get her back on soon, and I'm just going to go down all of the people that I shouted out today on Twitter, and I'm going to give them all a shout out on the air because I'm just feeling like it's preseason vibes, and I want to shine a little positivity. Some of these we've already done. Obviously, Frank Sidekick, Stadio Serie A, at Cold Black Arrow on Twitter. It's an awesome Napoli news Twitter. It's a group of people from Naples. They do a great job. At Napoli underscore report, another awesome Napoli news source. At Napoli in Naples, Johan, you've been around for a long time. You've been doing this thing for a long time. We appreciate you. You guys, all these news sites do a lot of the work that, gosh, I wouldn't want to be doing Napoli news 24/7. It's such a task. So thanks to you guys for keeping us all informed. At SSC Napoli news underscore, a newcomer-ish to the game, but we appreciate all the work that you do. And then I just want to shout out some friends of the podcast. On the top of my list, I've got Atsuri fan Phil. Phil, you know how we feel about you. I don't got to say anything else. I know you're excited for the new season. at Art Morelli, this guy's the Napoli banter king, so please make sure you give him a follow on Twitter. At Napolitando, Ando is another, you know, one of our Napoli friends. He's very active on Twitter. At EricPass75. I know he helped Frank out with his Zielinski podcast that we put out last week. He's a great guy, so I want to give him a shout out. And Darren, dude, what's up, man? How did we get you back on this pod, dude? At SSC Napoli Curva A, we got to get you on to some capacity for the next podcast.
I actually have an idea for him. I'll reach out.
We got to reach out to you, but we miss you, brother. And then I did put a bunch of other Napoli friends, and I'll skip them this week. Sorry, guys. I just wanted some Serie A accounts. Frank Crivello at FTC underscore 21. We love you, man. Richard Carman at R underscore K-H-A-R-M-A-N. And their podcast, Serie A Sit Down. We appreciate you guys so much. IFTV. We love you guys at IFTV Official on Twitter. At Italian Calcio on Twitter. At Campagna Calcio on Twitter. At Football Italia and Nima. Yo, what's up, dude? At Nima Tavrud. I think that's all I've got. As always, guys, you can follow us at Far From Vesuvius on Twitter and at Far From Vesuvius Podcast on Instagram. We will catch you hopefully after the first match of the season to give you a little roundup plus whatever transfer news we have left. And as always, guys, Forza Napoli.